I try to focus on a lot of that whenever I get very angry or frustrated with anything, or when I look back and I feel anger at myself. When I look back and like just recently I'm taking an English course and sitting there and listening to all these poems and stuff, and with this new and this not a new but this awareness that I have right now of, and looking back at how I would have once read this poem and cried over how beautiful it was and how the language was used to this and that, and I feel angry at myself, I feel betrayed that I've been lied about everything, that this colonization process did not help any of us. It did nothing, but it severed our peoples, it killed, it robbed us of our lands, it did so much to us, and it's made us hate ourselves so much that we don't even know how to love ourselves anymore. And so whenever I feel angry or frustrated by that, I read books, and I read specifically, I don't buy books written by white people anymore unless they're textbooks, unless I have to buy them. I because I feel that I've been denied so much of that I'm like, this whole new world has opened to me, and I only want to read works written by women of color and people of color, and in that way, that slight solidarity is being built within me. It is removing small amounts of barriers within myself before I can face exterior barriers. Going along the line of, it's really interesting that you use the word journey, because that's what I use to describe, call my life right now, that it's a journey, and it's taken different paths, and it's gone from this anger path, and it's moving to it's slightly this path, but it's still, you know, something relapsing to the anger part. Especially when I'm becoming more aware of all the ingrained legislations that are in place, that restrict us from, restrict our communities as well from progress, and it makes, and they work further to divide our communities. So,
I think that's important to look at the past, the present, you know, so we can create a future that's based on a historical context, so we know where we came from. The head tax is a good example of that in terms of immigration, okay? The old head tax, which was instituted, I think, between 19, I can't remember the exact dates. I should have looked it up.
You know what? I probably might have them here. If you keep on talking, I'll find the date.
Okay. Well, I think the head tax went from the turn of the century to 1923. Okay. And then they have the Exclusion Act from 1923 to 1947.
Okay. You got a date? The head tax in 1885.
That's right. From 1885 to 1923, the Canadian government collected $23 million from Chinese people. Okay. And that head tax was exclusively used to stop immigration of Chinese people into Canada. As you know, like if you go back to the history book, I think there is at least one line in the Canadian textbook that say that the Chinese, along with the Irish, built the Canadian Pacific Railroad, particularly in the west part of Canada, okay? And if you watch TV, there's a Canadian Heritage ad that say that every mile of that railroad has a Chinese body buried there, you know? So when that railroad was completed, the government wanted the Chinese out, so one way to do that was to institute the head tax. So by 1923, they collected $23 million. And I just want to let listeners know that the Chinese Canadian National Council is determined to get an official apology from the Canadian government. And also, in terms of compensation, you know, like, to make this apology with some meat, not just say, oh, we're sorry, and that's it, you know, is that we want that $23 million back, okay? Because it was stolen from the Chinese people and we want it back. It's symbolic. We're not asking for the interest or the, you know, in real dollar, what that is like now. I think that's billions of dollars if you calculate the interest in terms of real dollars. So we just want that $23 million back. So that's that 1923. And then they realized that they want more because they really want to exclude Chinese. Like they blamed everything onto the Chinese people, particularly in the West Coast. So after that, they instituted the Chinese Exclusion Act. And basically that act, it was passed into law in 1923 and it wasn't repealed until 1947. Mm-hmm. That law specifically exclude Chinese from coming into Canada. So the result of that law was that lots of families, Chinese Canadian families, are split up. You have generations of Chinese Canadians that have been affected, and they're still affected by that law because we still have some, I think over 1,000 survivors of the head tax. And like, if you talk to them, they can tell you stories of what it was like for them. Mostly male, they're mostly men who came here for the railroad. They couldn't reunite with their families. They're afraid to leave Canada because they're afraid if they go back to China to see their families, they would not be allowed back into the country. So they stay here in isolation, basically a male society, and with very few women in the community. It's really, you know, like deprivation is not a strong enough word. Like it's a destruction of a community. It's a total violation of their civil and human rights, you know. So there's that history. And in 1995, what's happening? If you look at the changes in the immigration policy and the changes in the refugee policies, it's the same thing. They're actually using the same arguments, economic arguments for the new head tax. And also, along with the new head tax, they linked criminality with immigration, basically implying that immigrants are crooks.
Exactly.
You know? So when you have these kind of policies, racist policies that are sanctioned by the state, it's hard not to, you know, it's hard not to say, well, you know, it's no wonder this rise of anti-Semitism, rise of hate groups, and rise of racial acts against people of color in Canada. I mean, like, you have a government that are officially instituting very racist laws.
Yes, and I think a lot of people also don't know that these new laws are being created by the Liberal Party, which is, you know, and ironically, these are the same proposals that were created by the Reform Party, whom the Liberal Party won over number of seats, and it is the Liberal government that is espousing this head tax, that is creating more tensions and targeting specifically people of color. And people are not aware of this. People don't want to hear this. And I think that is a basic problem I find with Canadian societies, that Canadians suffer from historical amnesia. They don't want to remember. They don't care because it doesn't affect them. Only when they can sit down and complain that, oh, I can't get a job because, you know, I'm not a special interest minority group.
Well, they have classified women who's majority, 52%, I believe, as special interest groups, right? I think it's not only historical amnesia that Canadians suffer under. I think there's a real ideology that create this historical amnesia. I think, like, if you know Noam Chomsky, he talk about how in our democracy, our liberal democracy, like you really need to manufacture some kind of consent so you don't need to rule by the baton, you know, so you don't need to rule by force. But yet, you can't have everybody having their democratic rights, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we all exercise our democratic rights, I don't know, you know, I don't know where the government gonna be. So the dominant groups, the elite, if I can call them, like, you know, there is a systemic way that they control.
Yes.
Our thoughts, and they manufacture our so-called consensus. And this is crucial because in a democracy, we do not rule by force. But if you talk to the communities of color, like the black communities or the Chinese community, they will tell you otherwise. Because I don't know if you remember a couple of months back, you know, this whole so-called quote controversy around what Honor Miner said about why black people do not talk to the Metro Toronto police.
Yes,
and
yeah.
He said, well, there's a whole thousands of years of history of people not talking to occupied armies.
Yeah.
And I think that if you look at certain communities, they are being occupied. You know, they're definitely being over-policed, you know.
Yes.
So I think, you know, we need to link that. And I just want to add to the fact that Canadians, okay, and I mean white Canadians, might want to say that, okay, I'm not an immigrant. I, you know, these changes in immigration law and the refugee policies do not affect us. But I would disagree with them, and I would warn them that they should take care to look at these changes because let's use the example of the new head tax. You know, the Liberal government has identified one group, the most vulnerable group that they can find, that's new immigrants or potential immigrants and refugees. They target a vulnerable group and say, you want to come to Canada, you pay the so-called landing fee, right?
Mm-hmm.
Canada's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Because it's a multicultural
right,
society.
Right, you know, yeah. We're a free and democratic society. So you pay, okay? Now, what is to prevent what is to prevent the government picking another group, another vulnerable group to target for their inability to solve the problem? And I just want to point to what the campaign in Ontario is shaping up to, this whole talk of workfare, you know, and the cut to social welfare,
you know. Mm-hmm.
So they are in danger when you have this hostile climate created by the government. Everybody is affected.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I absolutely agree with you there. I know we're sort of coming to the end of our hour, I really want to thank, and there's so much we could talk about this, and, you know, maybe we'll get a couple of minutes more from Alka or something. She's not giving us minutes. Okay. I'm really, really glad that you came today, Linda, and you brought a wealth of information with you, and what you were saying right at the beginning of the show about how we need to look towards our elders to get more information and about our histories, and I want to thank you for coming today and bringing us your information and letting our listeners hear about your experiences and information that is not, like you said, in textbooks or misinformation that we are being fed every day. We have another show coming up, I suppose. Alka is going to go into it. But thanks again, Linda.
Thank you for inviting me.
And I hope you come back soon so that we can talk more. And I hope the next time that we do, we'll have more positive things to say.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. All right. Thanks.